Lord, we do ask that you'd please bless this time as we look at the subject this morning. Lord, I pray you'd help us to be able to hear your word being preached, that the Holy Spirit, Lord, would help me to say the things you would have me to say, Father, that you would help me, Lord, to just put me aside and let your Holy Spirit speak to the people and speak to my heart this morning. Lord, I pray that you bless the next few minutes as we preach your word. In your precious name, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, well, we're there in Matthew chapter number 7. And I'd like to direct your attention to the very first phrase there in the first verse. It says, "Judge not that ye be not judged." That's a very famous quote from the Bible today. Oftentimes people will use that phrase. They'll say, "Judge not that ye be not judged." Who's ever heard somebody say that before? "Judge not that ye be not judged." And usually when they're saying that to you, it's because they're saying, you're judging, you know. They're saying, stop judging. "Judge not that ye be not judged." And this morning, let me tell you this. Today many Christians teach and believe that we should not judge people. And they'll say, "Judge not that ye be not judged." And I really want to preach to you this morning on the subject of judging and really this idea. Is it wrong to judge? Is it wrong to judge? Because today, Christianity teaches us, "Judge not that ye be not judged." They'll say, "Don't judge people," you know. And today, that's the new, you know, I hear this all the time. And sometimes I say it jokingly to people. But I hear this phrase all the time. People say, "Don't judge me. Don't judge me." You know, and we have this idea in Christianity that you're somehow wrong if you are to judge someone. And this phrase, you know, this verse is taken out of context. And people say, "Judge not that ye be not judged. Judge not," you know. And here's the thing. You got to understand, all right? Everything in the Bible must be followed within its context. And it's a beautiful verse. "Judge not that ye be not judged." But here's the thing. That's the first verse of the chapter. There's another 28 verses behind that. And we really need to understand the context of that phrase, and I want to just teach you this morning, or preach to you on the subject of judging, the subject of judging, whether it is good or not to judge. Point number one this morning is this: God is against hypocritical judgment. God is against hypocritical judgment. If you look at verse 1, it says, "Judge not that ye be not judged." Look at verse 2. "For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again." So he's, and you gotta understand this. If you're going to judge, if you're going to measure, you know, the Bible tells us that whatever judgment you apply, that same judgment is going to be applied right back at you. With whatever measurement you meet, it will be measured back to you again. We got to understand that. But if you look at verse 3, the Bible says, "And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye?" Now that word mote there, the word mote means, the definition of the word mote is a small particle. I often think of the word mote like who's ever had like a splinter? Is that what it's called, a splinter? You're doing some, you know, work, or you're working with wood or something, and you get this tiny little piece of wood that goes underneath your skin, you know, it kind of irritates you. Sometimes you gotta people bite at it or try to, take it out or something. And that's really the word mote. That's what I think of when I think of a mote. It's just a small piece, a little particle of wood like a splinter. And I want you to notice the analogy that he's giving in verse 3. He says, "Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye?" You know, your brother has like a little piece, a little particle of wood, a little splinter in his eye, and you're telling him, "Hey, you've got that little tiny piece in your eye of wood." And he says, "But considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye." The word beam is talking about a large piece of timber. I think of the word beam, I think like, you ever been to Home Depot, you bought 2x4s, you know what I'm talking about? Or like a 4x4, you know, a piece of wood that's 2 inches by 4 inches or 4 inches by four. That's like a beam, you know. And the analogy, and he's obviously exaggerating it to help you understand. He says, "Why are you beholding the mote that's in your brother's eye, and you're ignoring, you're not considering the, you've got this huge beam, this huge 2x4 stuck in your eye?" Look at verse 4. "Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, 'Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye'?" And I want you to just notice the first two words of verse 5. The Lord Jesus Christ says, "Thou hypocrite." And he says, and here's the thing, and this is what, you know, everybody agrees with this free teaching up to this point. Everybody says, "See, you know, you're not supposed to, you know, you're not supposed to try to help remove the mote out of your brother's eye when you've got a beam in your own eye." And they say, you know, you shouldn't judge people. You shouldn't say, people something small when you've got a huge problem in your life. And he says, thou hypocrite. But here's the thing. Keep reading verse 5. Look what he says. Thou hypocrite, don't judge anyone. Is that what it says? Notice what he says. First, cast out the beam out of thine own eye. So he says, hey, hypocrite, don't go around telling your brother, you've got a mote in your eye, let me help you with that. He says, first take care of your own problem. First take care of the beam that's in your eye. But notice what he says. First cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then, notice what he says, shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Now, according to that verse, is it wrong to help cast the mote out of your brother's eye? No. In fact, Jesus is promoting it. He's saying, hey, take care of the beam in your own eye first. And he says, here's what you're going to do. When you get the beam out of your eye, you'll be able to see clearly, and then you'll be able to help. See, people say, judge not, that ye be not judged. And they'll say, you're never supposed to judge anyone. You're never supposed to try to help anyone. You're never supposed to look at your brother and say, hey, you've got a splinter in your eye. Hey, you've got a mole in your eye. But that's not the context of the verse. The context of the verse is this. Take care of the beam that's in your eye. And when you take care of the beam that's your eye, you'll be able to see clearly to help him. Here's the context. Don't go around correcting people with their sin while you're in a lot of sin or a lot of big sin yourself. But he says, if you cast that sin out of your own eye, then you can help your brother. The idea is not that Jesus Christ is against judging. It's that he's against hypocritical judging. Do you understand that? You know, when people say to you, judge not, that ye be not judged. Judge not, that ye be not judged. Hey, it's okay to judge once you remove the beam out of your own eye. The purpose of removing the beam is to be able to see clearly and cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. See, God is against hypocritical judging. But he's not against judging. Let me prove it to you. You're there in Matthew chapter number 7. Go with me to John chapter number 7. You're there in Matthew. Go to Mark, Luke, and then the book of John. John chapter number 7. Look at verse number 24. In John chapter number 7, look at verse 24. See, whenever someone just takes a phrase from the Bible out of context, and they don't read it in its entire context, they're going to mislead you. Today people say you should never judge anyone. You should never decipher between right or wrong for anyone. But that's not the context of the scripture. The context is saying, judge not while you've got the beam in your eye. But when you remove the beam, you'll be able to clearly see to help your brother remove the mote out of his eye. Look at John chapter number 7. Look at verse number 24. John 7:24. I'd like you to see this. The Bible says, when the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took... that's not the right verse. Good night. I'm in John 6. John 7, verse 24. That's where I want to go. John chapter 7, look at verse 24. I'd like you to see this verse. It says, judge not according to the appearance, but I want you to notice this terminology, judge righteous judgment. Do you see that? Judge righteous judgment. The word righteous means pure. The word righteous means correct. The word righteous, you see how the first part of the word it says right? The Bible says there is a such thing as right judgment. Righteous judgment. Pure judgment. See, today the liberals and the charismatic Christian movement and the neo-evangelical Christian music and the contemporary Christian movement will say, don't judge anyone. Don't ever, and that's a bad word. That's like a four-letter word to judge up, that ye be not judged. And number one, we already saw it, they're taking that out of context. Because Jesus Christ said, I want you to help your brother remove the mote out of his eye, but first you need to be able to see clearly to remove the beam out of your own eye. So he's not saying not to judge, he's saying don't judge hypocritically. But here in John 7:24, it tells us, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. There is a such thing as a right type of judgment, or a righteous type of judgment, or a pure, or a clean, or a perfect type of judgment. There is a such thing as a right judgment. So we got to get this idea in our heads that judging is not a bad word in the Bible. It's a good thing to judge. It's a good thing to help your brother. Just make sure you've taken care of your own beam first. But I wanted you to see there, the Bible says, judge righteous judgment. There's a good thing, there's a such thing as righteous judgment. Now we got to ask this question. What makes righteous judgment? You're there in John chapter 7. Go back a couple chapters to John chapter number 5. John chapter number 5, look at verse number 30. John chapter number 5, look at verse number 30. John 5:30. The Bible says, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I, notice the next word, judge. And my judgment is just. Now this is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, I judge, and my judgment is just. He said, this is righteous judgment. How do you have righteous judgment? Because I seek not mine own will. Do you notice what he said? But the will of the Father, which has sent me. You say, how can we know what is righteous judgment? Here's righteous judgment. When you're judging someone, not based on your own will. The Lord Jesus Christ was God in the flesh, and he said, even me, Jesus Christ, do not judge a person based on my will. See, here's the thing. Here's where we get into judgment. When we start judging people based on what we think is right or wrong, I don't think they should be doing that. I think they should be doing this. Well, that's not your place. But it's right, the Bible says, and the Lord Jesus Christ said, that my judgment is judged, not when I seek mine own will, but the will of the Father, which has sent me. You say, how do we have righteous judgment? How do we have just judgment? Here's how you do it. When you judge someone, not according to your own will, but according to the will of the Father. It's okay to judge according to God's will. When you say, this is what God would like. This is what God would want. Not, I want you to do this, but God would want you to do that. He says that's just judgment. He says that's righteous judgment. Let me give you another example. Go with me to John chapter number 12. John chapter number 12. Look at verse number 47. John chapter number 12. Look at verse number 47. John 12, 47. You say, well, how can we judge the will of the Father? How do we know God's will? Look at John 12, 47. The Bible says, and if any man hear my words, this is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. If any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. Notice what he says. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. Look at verse 48. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. Now, in verse 47, he said, I don't judge him. But he said, but there is one that will judge him. Look what he says. The words that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. So, what is righteous judgment? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ tells us, he says, I don't judge anyone. He says, but you know who will judge him on the last day? The words that I have spoken to you. Pastor, what is righteous judgment? What is just judgment? Here's righteous judgment. When we take God's word and we take God's will and we match up right or wrong based on his will. Not based on what you and I think is right. Not based on your will or my will, but based on God's will. Even the Lord Jesus Christ said, I don't judge according to my will, but I judge according to the will of the Father. And he said, I don't judge anyone, but the words that I spake, those words will judge them at the last day. See, there is a such thing as righteous judgment, but it's judgment that comes from the Bible. See, we cannot judge people. I don't think they should be doing that. But if you can take the Bible and say, well, the Bible says you shouldn't be, or the Bible says you should, that's righteous judgment. And let me explain something to you. God expects us to judge. See, today, Christianity says, don't judge anybody. And they have this idea, they say, if you judge someone, if you judge people, you're looking down on them. But you know, the Bible tells us, and God expects us to judge people. Do you know that? Go with me to Acts 17. This is a very familiar verse. We look at it oftentimes at our church. I love this verse. Acts 17. Look at verse number 10. Acts 17, 10. You know that your job is to be judging at all times? Your job, you know, when you come to church, you know that it's your job to be judging? You say, who am I judging? The pastor. Well, thanks for telling me, because I've been wanting to tell you, you know, the belt that you wear doesn't match your tie. No, that's not how you're supposed to be judging. Hey, that's not, the judgment you're supposed to be doing is, because see, that's your will, not the will of the Father. Show me that in the Bible. No. But the judgment you're supposed to be judging is God's word. Let me show you. Go to Acts 17, look at verse number 10. Acts 17, verse 10, look what the Bible says. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming hither went into the synagogue of the Jews. Look at verse 11. These, talking about the Bereans, were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. Look what it says. And searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Now I want you to notice something about this church in Berea. these Berean believers, these Berean Baptists, if you will. You got to understand something. They didn't have a bad attitude. It's not like they came to church, I'm going to prove that pastor wrong. I don't like what he had to say. They didn't. The Bible says they received the word with all readiness of mind. They were ready. Their minds were ready. They came to church and they were prepared. They were ready. They wanted to receive the word. They wanted to hear what the man of God had to say to them. The Bible says they received the word with all readiness of mind. But here's the thing. They still searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. You understand that? You shouldn't come to church with a bad attitude saying, I'm going to prove that pastor wrong. I don't like... You know, you got to come ready to receive God's word. But you ought never just accept something just because the pastor said. You know, well, the pastor said this, so it must be true. You know, the Bible says it's our job to be judging constantly. You say, how do I judge? Well, I didn't like what he said. It doesn't matter whether you liked it or whether you didn't like it. You match it up to God's word. You match it up to God's will. You say, how do I do that? Here's how you do it. You search the scriptures daily to see whether those things are so. You know, oftentimes people will argue with me about some doctrine or something. And look, I'm totally fine with you. You know, you can have your own opinion. I don't. If you want to talk about something, we can talk about it. I love that. I love it when people say to me, you know, hey, the Bible, you know, the Bible says this, but here's what irritates me. When somebody comes to me and says, I don't like what you said about this, and then they have no Bible to back it up. It's like, well, where are you getting that from? Well, you know, that's just what I think. Now, when somebody says to me, hey, look, I was thinking about this and this verse here and that verse. Hey, I love that conversation. We have a dialogue, and I say, oh, that's good. I didn't think about that. Or maybe I'll say, well, I was looking at this verse. That's good. That shows me you're searching the scripture. You're reading the Bible. You're thinking. You're not just being a mindless robot, just accepting what's being said. But when, you know, you ought to search the scripture. You ought to match it up with the word of God and the will of God. And let me tell you something. Men aren't perfect. You know, you can't just say, well, Verity Baptist Church, that's a good church, that's a good pastor, everything he says must be true. That's not true. I can make a mistake. And here's the thing. And here's why I'm bringing it up. Because you're going to have to learn this in your Christian life. Let me tell you something right now. Every preacher you listen to needs to be judged. I'm not saying you should have a bad attitude, but in your mind, every word they're saying, you ought to judge it up against the Bible. Today there is so much confusion in our churches because here's what people do all day. They sit at home and they turn on the television and they watch some preacher on TV and it's not an independent fundamental Baptist. It's not a King James only. It's some Pentecostal reading out of the NIV. It's some Southern Baptist reading out of the New King James. It's some, you know, heretic that believes in work salvation, that believes in repenting of your sins, that believes in baby baptisms, whatever. And then people say, well, I heard this preacher say this. Look, just because they got a Bible and they're wearing a tie and they call themselves a pastor doesn't mean they're good. You say, you're not allowed to disrespect anyone. But when someone tries to teach you the Bible, whether it's me, whether it's someone on TV, whether it's some Jehovah's Witness knocking on your door, hey, search the scriptures daily and see whether that's true. Amen. Figure it out and say, hey, is that true? Is that wrong? I don't have an issue with you disagreeing with me, but have the Bible follow. I love that. I love it when people say to me, hey, I don't know about this, and I was thinking, and they show me a Bible. You know, that helped me grow. Because I said, oh, I didn't think about that. I'll consider that. I'll read that. I'll think about it. But when people come to me, I didn't like it that you preached against the Catholics, or you preached against the Jehovah's Witness. You know, I think they're good people, and they are good people, but the religion is false. Well, I think they're, whatever. And then I'm like, well, show me that in the Bible. Show me where it says we should baptize babies. If you show it to me, I'll believe it. Well, I don't know where it says it in the Bible. That's the problem. If you search the scriptures, you'd figure out, what's right, what's wrong, and it's a process of judging. You know, people say, judge not, that ye be not judged. That doesn't even make any sense to me. The whole point of our, try raising your children, judge not, that ye be, judge not, and be not judged, or whatever. You know, the whole point of our lives is to be able to instruct our children, try running a business like that. You know, your employee walks in 30 minutes late every day. You go, hey, listen, you need to work on your tardiness there. Hey, don't judge me, man. Don't judge me. Come on. You end up getting fired. People, don't judge me. Judge not, that you be not judged. Hey, God expects us to judge. God expects us to judge preaching. Hey, I want you to judge my preaching. I want you, everything I'm saying. You know, that's why we turn to 95 verses every sermon. That's why we have you go to the passage. That's why we have you look at the script. I want you to look at it with your own eyes and see, wow, those guys really did search the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. And see, then it's not so crazy when we say, hey, read 9 chapters a day in the month of January. Hey, read your Bible every day. Hey, pray every day. Hey, come to church. Hey, you know, I'm not against listening to preaching. Praise the Lord for it. But you got to judge it in your mind. You understand that? Let me show you another verse. Go with me to 1 John chapter number 4. 1 John, towards the end of your New Testament there. 1 John chapter number 4. Look at verse number 1. 1 John chapter number 4. Look at verse number 1. 1 John chapter number 4, look at verse 1, look what the Bible says. 1 John, towards the end of your New Testament there. At the end there, you've got the book of Revelation. Right before that, you've got Jude. And right before that, you've got 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. 1 John chapter number 4, look at verse 1. I want you to see this verse. 1 John chapter number 4, look at verse number 1. The Bible says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Did you catch that? He said, don't believe every spirit. He said, you gotta try every spirit to see whether it comes from God. Here's why. You see the colon there? That means the next phrase has to do with the previous statement. He said, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they're of God, colon. Look what it says. Because, here's why you need to try the spirits. Because they, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. You say, you gotta try the spirits because there's many false prophets. There's many false preachers. There's many deceivers. There's many religions that are teaching wrong, that are practicing wrong, that are taking verses out of context. You gotta try those people. You don't just say, well, so-and-so, he was a Christian. He came with the Bible and he told me he was a Christian. He must be right. No! Judge that spirit. Try that spirit. You say, how do I do that? Searching the scriptures daily. So you know why we cannot judge what we don't understand? That's why the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But see, we don't understand. If you never read the Bible, you don't know what it says. So some Jehovah's Witness comes to your door and says, hey, there's no hell. Hell's not real. There's no fire in hell. Well, you've read your Bible, and you've read Jesus, and you've read the book of Revelation, and you've read, you know, the lake of fire which burneth with fire and brimstone forever and ever. You've read Jesus talk about, you know, fire and hell. Then, you know, hey, that doesn't match up. You understand what I'm saying? Righteous judgment. God expects us to judge. You got to judge preaching. You got to judge pastors. You got to judge the sermon. Hey, when someone stands up to preach, go with me to Romans 16. When someone stands up to preach, they're opening themselves up to be judged. And look, we understand that people, you know, if there's a pastor who's preaching God's word, getting people saved, and you know, people are going to make mistakes. We ought to have grace there. We understand that. We're talking about people who are just heretics, who are just constantly preaching wrong Bible doctrine. And here's the thing: you say, why is it that some pastors just cannot understand the Bible? Here's why. They're not saved. That's why. They don't have the Holy Spirit of God. When there's a pastor just constantly, every doctrine he teaches is anti-Bible. It's wrong. He's taking first off. It's because they don't even have the Holy Spirit. That's the problem. The only way you can understand God's Word is through the Holy Spirit of God. Go with me to Romans 16. Look at verse number 17. Look at what God commands us to do. Romans 16, 17. Look what it says. Now I beseech you, brethren. Look what he says. Mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrines which ye have learned, and avoid them. Do you see that? Let me read that verse again. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. The word doctrine there means teaching. The Bible says if there is a preacher or there is a pastor who's teaching doctrines contrary to the doctrines or the teachings that we've learned, you ought to mark them and you ought to avoid them. You know, there are preachers out there that we ought to mark and avoid. The word mark there is talking about pointing them out. It's talking about being able to see them and be able to understand that is a false preacher. That is a heretic. And we're marking them and we are avoiding them. Now, let me ask you something. How am I supposed to mark someone and avoid them if I'm not allowed to judge them? You understand that? Judge not, but ye be not judged. No, we should have righteous judgment. I should be able to match up what you're saying, what you're preaching, what you're teaching with God's Word and say that lines up with God's Word, praise God. Or say that doesn't line up with God's Word, let's mark them and avoid them. People sometimes get upset at our type of preaching. They'll say, I don't like it that you call out I don't like it that you call out Joel Osteen. I don't like it that you call out Billy Graham. I don't like it that you call out Charles Stanley. judge people. Why don't you read the entire chapter and then tell me about it? Amen. Judge not that ye be not judged. Read the next four verses and get it in its context. He said you shouldn't call people out by name. You shouldn't call out Joel Osteen. He's doing a good work. No, he's not. He's out there teaching his prosperity gospel, seven steps to your better life now, and all this garbage. You know, just teaching that, oh, if you live for God, if you do right, if you go to church, if you just come out and hear me speak for 5 minutes and, you know, look at my nice smile and my, you know, mohawk or whatever. You ever seen his hair? Anyway, that's not righteous judgment. But, you know, you come out and, you know, you follow my seven steps. What was that famous book you wrote? Your Best Life Now. Bunch of prosperity gospel, a bunch of, once you get saved, you know, name it and claim it, God's going to bless you, you just get saved and God's going to make you rich and God's going to make you famous, God's going to give you everything your heart ever desired. Say that to Job. Say that to Elijah and Isaiah and Jeremiah. Say that to the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that what happened with him? Prosperity gospel? They're turning people away because here's what happens. People come to that type of church and they'll say, God said that he was going to bless me. And then you can't pay your bills and you think, it's not real. And then heartache happens. Then trials happen. Then, you know, the Bible says, yea, all they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. There are storms of life. Sometimes you will get bit. Sometimes you will get in a fight. But see, these prosperity gospel preachers, it's just all positive message. And then people think, something bad happened in my life, and they think, God's not real, the Bible's not real. No, the preaching you're listening to is not real. And we're going to call that out.
Amen.
We're going to call out Charles Stanley. And let me tell you something. I don't really know much about Charles Stanley. I just recently learned something about him. But here's all I need to know. He was the president of the Southern Baptist Convention. That's all I need to know. You know what we talked about denominations here recently? Remember where we showed in Ephesians where Jesus is the head of the church? You know what I'm talking about? And remember we were talking about a denomination? And the president of that denomination takes the place of the head? When you're the president of the Southern Baptist Convention, you know what you just did? You just took the place of Jesus Christ. That's what's wrong with denominations. They take the head of Jesus. You know, well, Charles Stanley, here's what I need to know. He preached out of the NIV. He's a Southern Baptist. He was the head of the Southern Baptist Convention. And he's on TV. That's all I need to know. Judge him. Mark him. Avoid him. Avoid John MacArthur, who's a hyper-Calvinist. Avoid the Pope, who's the leader of the biggest religion in the world that teaches works salvation, that is damning people to hell, teaching that you got to get baptized, you got to go to confessional booth, you got to get catechized, you got to do this, you got to do that to be saved. No, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
Avoid it. But how do we avoid it? Well, we mark it. How do we mark it? We judge it.
Amen.
We explain to you, here's what's wrong with it. We mark it. I don't think you should do that. You're judgmental. Yes, we are judgmental. But we're judging righteous judgment. From the Bible. From God's Word. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel are those big major prophets there in the back of your Old Testament. They're kind of easy to find. Look at Isaiah 58. Look at verse 1. Isaiah 58. Look at verse 1. Judge not that ye be not judged. You know that preaching is judging? Let me show you what righteous preaching is. Let me take you to God's Bible College, where God taught Isaiah how to preach. Look what he says, Isaiah 58. This is God instructing the prophet Isaiah, one of the greatest prophets ever lived, on how to preach. Here was his immense preaching night. Look what he says. Cry aloud. He's like, Pastor, why do you guys yell so much? Because God said, cry aloud. That word cry is not talking about crying. The Bible word for crying, what we think of crying like tears, is weep. In the Bible, cry means like yell. He says, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet. Is the trumpet loud?
Yes, yes.
He said, lift up thy voice like a trumpet. He said, Isaiah, I want you to be loud, I want you to yell, I want you to get their attention, here's why, and show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. Say, what is Bible preaching? Showing you your sin. Showing you the transgression. The Bible says that sin is the transgression of the law. And the job of preaching is to show you where you transgress God's law. To show you when you sin. That's Bible preaching. Now look, how do we do that without judging?
Sir.
How do we do that without, you know, having this attitude, judge not that ye be not judged? How do we do that without, you know, taking the Bible and saying, hey, you know, sometimes people come to the church and say, I don't like it, you're always preaching on sin, you guys are always preaching, you're preaching against alcohol, you're preaching against the television, you're preaching against this. Yes, we will, because that's the point of preaching. And we only do that one way, judging. Judging. You say, you're going to judge people? Yeah, we need to judge people. We need to judge people. We need to judge sin. We need to call out sin. Go with me to 2 Timothy chapter number 4. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. And we're going to look at a reference and then go somewhere else, but we'll come back to 2 Timothy. So just stick your bulletin there or something. And go to 2 Timothy chapter number 4. And look at verse number 2. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Let me show you another verse where God is teaching us how to preach. Look what he says. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. He says, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. The Bible says that preaching ought to be this, reprove. You say, what does the word reprove mean? The word reprove means to reestablish a truth. It means to teach again, or it means to correct a fallacy. That's what reprove means. So we take a doctrine that's taught wrong, and we reprove it. We reteach it. We teach you the truth again. We correct it. That's what the word reprove means. Rebuke means to express sharp disapproval. To reprimand. It's when you tell your kids, you're doing wrong. That's what rebuke is. Exhort means to build up. It means to urge. It means to advise. It means to promote. It means to try to get you to become better. That's what exhort means. And the Bible tells us, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. That means whether it's popular or not. He says, reprove, correct, rebuke, reprimand, and exhort, build up. With all long suffering and doctrine. That's what preaching is. If you come to church and you say, every time I leave that church, I feel like he beat me up. I feel like he was preaching at me. I want to go to church where I feel positive. No, you should leave here every once in a while and feel rebuked. The Bible says that the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even asunder the soul and spirit. You ought to leave when God's Word is preached. You ought to leave and say, man, I felt like that cut me. That's what it's supposed to do. We're trying to remove the sin. There's only one way to do that. By judging. See, and today the contemporary Christian movement says, don't judge anyone. Don't judge anyone. No, we ought to judge. We ought to judge. See, let me show you something. Here's what's happened in America today. Look at verse... let's read verse 2 again. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine. Look at verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Do you see that? The Bible says there will come a time when men and women will go to church and they will not endure sound doctrine. They will not want to hear God's word. They will not want to hear the Bible. It says, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Whenever I read that phrase there, itching ears, I always think of like a puppy. You ever have a dog? What do dogs want? You know, what do they want? They want you to scratch their ear. You know, what happens... I feel bad for our dog Gunner because he doesn't get the love that he probably should as a dog. And my kids play with him, my wife plays with him. But just a couple days ago, I was petting him. My wife says, I think that was the first time I've ever seen you pet him. I said, yeah, I just feel bad for this dumb dog. No, but here's the thing, you know what? I started playing with his ear. And I started, you know, scratching his ear there. And man, he liked that. You know, usually he kind of stays a distance from me. But as soon as I started itching, man, he comes up, he cuddled with me. I was sitting up there. He put his head on my lap there, and I started scratching his ear, and he started shaking his leg. And here's the thing. This is what Christianity is today. People want to go to church and get a feel good, positive message. They just want you want to come to church and you want to lay your head on the pastor's lap and have the pastor say, "Good boy." To scratch my ear. To make me feel good. And here's what they say. Judge not, and ye be not judged. You know, when somebody says, let me just give you a hint. When someone ever says to you, judge not that ye be not judged, here's what they're saying. Don't judge me. I don't want you to point out my sin. Look what it says, verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Look at verse 4. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. You know, there are locations that call themselves church all across America right now where people do not want to hear the truth. They want to be lied to. They want a fable. They want us to preach peace, peace, when there is no peace, like it says in Jeremiah. Because they don't want to be judged. We've got to judge righteously by the Word of God. We need righteous judgment. And look, sometimes that means we're going to match up our lives to the Word of God and say, no, that's not right. No, that's not okay. And sometimes we will have to reprove. Sometimes we will have to say, look, I know you were taught this certain way, but that's wrong. It's actually this way. And sometimes we will have to rebuke. And sometimes we will exhort. And sometimes we will. Sometimes you will leave here and say, that was a good sermon. I feel good. Good. We exhorted. But sometimes you'll leave here and say, man, I feel rebuked. And we'll say, good. That's what you need. And sometimes we'll feel reproved. And by the way, sometimes it'll be the same sermon. Sometimes you'll feel reproved, rebuke, exhorted. It's righteous judgment. Today people do not want to be, they don't want to listen to judgmental preaching because they do not want to be judged. Go with me to Matthew chapter number 15. Matthew chapter number 15. People will say, you know, Joel Osteen. I heard Joel Osteen say this in an interview. Someone emailed me an interview one time or something on the computer. And I heard Joel Osteen say this. This is the pastor of the largest church in the United States of America. You know that? His church there in Lakeview or whatever it's called in Houston, Texas. Largest church in the entire country. The pastor of the largest Christian church in the entire country said this. I don't talk about sin. I don't ever talk about hell or judgment. He says, I consider myself a life coach. This is what he said. He said, I just try to give people a positive message, a positive sermon, and I'm just trying to help them, you know, come to church and feel good. Here's what he's saying. I just like to scratch their ears. And when they start doing this, then I say, okay, let's go. That, you know, and it takes 15 minutes to do that. And here's the thing. You know, as someone once, I heard somebody say this analogy, I thought it was good. Imagine if there was a blind man walking towards a cliff, and they were going to fall off to their death. And someone like you and I came up and said, Hey, you're walking towards a cliff. You're going to die. You got to stop. Imagine if that guy said, don't judge me, man. Don't judge me. I don't like your negative attitude. Here's what they want. Here's what the average Christian American want. They want to walk up to that blind man going down the cliff and they want to say, hey, you're doing a good job. That's a good step there. You got a good sway there. I like that. Here, let me give you a sandwich. I like your hair. It looks nice. Man, you're doing a good job. As they're walking down, and let me tell you something. That's America today. We're headed down a cliff. We're headed down a ditch. And instead of somebody standing up and saying, hey, stop! They want somebody to say, no, keep going. You're doing a good job. Keep doing. That's what they want.
That's right.
Look at Matthew 15. This is what it reminds me of. Matthew 15, look at verse 14. This is what Jesus said about the leaders, the religious leaders of His day. He said, let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into a ditch. See, sometimes it hurts to tell someone the truth. Paul said, am I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? But let me tell you something. The truth will make you free. And sometimes the truth hurts. Sometimes we don't want to hear the truth. Sometimes we're going down a certain path and someone's got to tell us, hey, blind man, you're going towards the cliff. Turn this way. And we don't want to hear that because we've been going there our whole life. But we need somebody to stand up and say, hey, stop it.
Amen.
But today people just want a positive only message. Pastor, don't scream. Don't yell. Give me a PowerPoint presentation. 17 steps on to happiness. I'll put my tithe in and we'll be on our way. 30 minutes and we'll be at Hometown Buffet in an hour. That's what they want. That's what the average church wants. Because they don't want to be judged. Now, let me give you some practical. Go me to Romans 14. Let me give you some practical instruction in regards to judging. Guidelines for judging. In your personal life. If someone says to you, your church is judgmental, just say amen and amen. That's not something to be ashamed of. We're not ashamed of the fact that we're trying to show people their transgression and their sin. We're not ashamed of the fact that we're trying to help marriages and help families and help children before they ruin their life, before they mess up their life, before they go down the wrong road. The Bible says that that wide is the gate and the path that leads to destruction. Many there be that find it. We're not ashamed of saying, hey, that's wrong. This is right. The Bible says there is a way that leads to destruction, and the end thereof is the way of death. We're not ashamed of that. We're actually pretty proud of it. We're proud of the fact that we're going to stand up against sin, stand up against wrong and unrighteousness, and say, hey, go this way. Look at Romans 14 there. But you need to understand, there's some guidelines for judging in your personal life. Just get this idea. Judging is not a bad word. It's good. Hey, one day we'll stand at the judgment seat of Christ, praise God. And we'll be judged. That's a good thing. Something you should look forward to. Let me give you some guidelines for judging. Number one, do not judge outside of your area of authority. Do you understand that? Every single one of us has an area of authority. You say, Pastor, what is my area of authority? Well, I'll give you an example. My area of authority is the area that I've been given authority over. My authority, you know, people under my authority would be my wife, would be my children. You understand that? It is my job to judge them. It's my job to instruct them. It's my job to help them. Here's where we get in trouble. When we start judging outside of our authority. You understand that? Let me give you an example. Pastor Jimenez will never walk up to you and correct you, you know, in regards to, you know, your children need to do this. Or your wife needs to do this. Or you need to do this. You know that I'll never do that. The only times I ever, and even this I do very carefully, the only time I ever tell somebody is when they specifically ask my advice. When someone says, Pastor, I'm having an issue with this, what do you think I should do? And even then, I tread very softly. Because, you know, that's something that's a situation that could turn wrong real quick. You know, sometimes people, you know, but let me tell you something. When someone doesn't ask you for your advice, they don't want your advice. If they wanted your advice, they would ask you for it. You know, only judge in areas of your authority. It's not your job to judge outside of your authority. Look at Romans 14, look at verse 4. Romans 14, 4, look what it says. Look what it says. Who art thou that judges another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. You see that? Verse 4. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? Do you see that? The Bible says, you know, the idea there is there's a man who has a servant, and another man is trying to tell that servant what to do. He says, that's not your authority. That's not your sphere of authority. Let me tell you something. You know, you say, well, Pastor, you come here and you judge all of us, you know, when you're preaching. Number one, I'm not judging you personally. I'm just preaching God's word. Number two, this is my area of authority. You know that this church, you know, our church is probably one of the only churches that, you know, there's very few churches that I know of that practice the type of liberty that our church has. You know that our church has absolutely no rules? You know that we have absolutely no dress code? You know that we don't force anyone to give anything, to do anything, ever? If anyone ever does anything in our church, it's because they volunteered to do it. Now don't misunderstand this. I will preach what you should do. I will preach how you should dress. I will preach things you should do from the Bible. It doesn't matter to me whether you apply it or not. This is my authority right here. You know, you can come up to me and say, Pastor, I think we should maybe, you know, get, you know, different drapes. Okay, whatever. I don't care. Talk to my wife about it. You know, sometimes people come up, Pastor, I was thinking for the ladies' activity next month we should do this. Whatever. That's not me. Talk to my wife. But you know what? This right here, this is my authority. I will preach what I feel, whatever I want to preach. And the only area you've got in that is this. Does it match up the Bible? Here's the only place you've got in my preaching. Search the scriptures daily to see if those things are so. Other than that, we will preach God's word. We will preach God's doctrine. I don't care how controversial it is. I will say queer. I will say fag. I will say homosexual. sexual. I will call it out. God called it strange. God called it abomination. I will do what I want because this is my authority, right?
Amen.
Where's your authority?
Right there.
You match that up. You say, I don't like it that you're talking about the homosexuals. Well, look at what God says about the homosexuals. Tell me if you like what He says. Because He said, stone them with stones till they die. That's what He said in the book of Leviticus. Pastor, I don't think you should say that. Well, it's righteous judgment. Don't judge outside of your authority. What am I trying to say? Don't walk up to other people's kids and tell them what to do. Worry about your own kids. Now, it's very easy to look at other people's kids and say, those kids, they need to get those kids under control. You don't like it when somebody tells you to get your kids under control. And it's easy to talk when your kids, you know, when you have no kids. Right. Everybody that has no kids are an expert on parenting. Or here's the other thing. Everybody, you know, you're like in your, you know, 80s or something. And you're like, my kids never did that. Yes, they did. Yes, they did. You just don't remember. It was such a traumatic experience, you've erased it from your mind. You know, don't judge other people's kids. Don't judge other people's spouses. Don't tell them. Your wife shouldn't do that. You don't know what's going on in their life. Judge in your area of authority. Judge in your area, your sphere of authority. God has given you authority. Take care of that. Don't judge another man's servant. Number two, guidelines for judging. Do not judge in matters that do not concern you or hurt you. Let me give you an example. He gives an example here in Romans 14. Look at verse 5. Look at verse 4. Who art thou that judges another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. Now, he begins to give us an example, because he's talking about judging. And he begins to give us an example of this. Look at verse 5. He says, one man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day, regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day, to the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eateth, eateth to the Lord. For he giveth God thanks, and he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. You know, yesterday we were out soul winning. Actually, Brother Vincent and I were, I think it was Brother Vincent and I, we were leaving out to go soul winning, and we saw these Jehovah's Witnesses right here on our street. And I came home, my wife said, yeah, the Jehovah's Witness knocked on my door, and she told them off or something, and they ran off crying. But, you know, she just gave them righteous judgment. She was showing them stuff from the Bible, and they were like, oh, we gotta go. But, you know, the Jehovah's Witness, you know, and it's funny, because I was Brother Vincent and I were talking about this, and it's in the text there, so I'll use it as an example. But you know, the Jehovah's Witnesses teach, if you are a heathen, if you celebrate, like, Christmas, birthdays, any holiday, they're anti-holidays, you know. And here's the thing, often, Jehovah's Witnesses come up to me, do you celebrate Christmas? Yeah. Do you know all the pagan, you know, all the pagan rituals? Yeah, I know. Do you know that, you know, let me just break it down to you. Do you know Christmas is a Catholic holiday? Think about it. Christ Mass. That's the name of it. Look, who cares? Just celebrate it if you want to celebrate it. Don't celebrate it if you don't. We celebrate it. We get a Christmas tree. You know about the Christmas tree? Look at what it says. See, here's where we get in trouble. We start judging in things that don't affect us. Does it matter to you if I celebrate my kid's birthday, Jehovah's Witness? Does it hurt you? Does it hurt me that you don't? Now, I wish I didn't have to celebrate Christmas. It probably helped me save some money. But look, it doesn't matter either way. Look at what it says. Look at verse 5. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. You know that I will never stand up here and preach, you must celebrate Christmas, you must celebrate birthdays. It doesn't matter. It's, you know, let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Some people esteem one day above another, another esteem every day alike, whatever. Do what you want. That's a place in the Bible where God said, hey, if you want to celebrate holidays, celebrate. If you don't want to celebrate holidays, don't. That's what He says. So it's not my place to judge someone on that. I'm not going to judge someone because they do or they don't. If someone said to me, I don't celebrate Christmas, whatever. Doesn't bother me. Praise the Lord. Let every man be, you know, be fully persuaded in his own mind. Look at verse 6. He that regardeth the day, regardeth unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day, to the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. Let me show you another verse. Go with me to Colossians. You're there in Romans. Go past 1st and 2nd Corinthians. And then you've got the book of Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Go to Colossians chapter number 2. Look at verse number 16. Colossians chapter number 2, look at verse 16. Colossians 2:16, look what it says. Colossians 2:16, look what it says. Let no man, therefore, judge you in meat, or in drink, or in respect of holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days. You see that? You know that the term holiday comes from this phrase, holy day? That's where it came from. And I just want you to see them. Verse 16. Let no man therefore judge you. What should we not let people judge us in? These things. Meat, drink, or in respect of holiday. You know, the Bible says if you want to celebrate your birthday, celebrate it. If you don't want to, don't. If you want to celebrate Christmas, celebrate it. If you don't want to, don't. You want to celebrate Thanksgiving, do it. If you don't, don't. It doesn't matter. It's not our place to judge others based on things that don't affect us. So, you know, I'm just trying to explain to you righteous judgment. Don't judge outside of your sphere of authority. But number two, don't judge people based on things that don't matter. I don't care if did you see Sister So-and-so? She was wearing that color didn't match with that color. That doesn't matter. You see what I'm saying? We ought not judge people in respect to things that don't matter. But, go with me real quick to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And that was an example that the Apostle Paul gave. When he was trying to explain to us how to judge, he gives that example, and he gives it often throughout the Scripture. He's saying, look, if someone wants to celebrate a holiday, let them celebrate it. If they don't want to, then don't. It doesn't matter. And see, I just think it's funny, these Jehovah's Witnesses walk around acting like you're some sort of a heathen because we celebrate Easter. And here's the funny thing, they don't celebrate Easter, but the biggest push of the year for them is around Easter. You know, they don't celebrate Easter. But on, you know, like the week before or the week after is like the biggest push of the year. It's like, whatever. Hypocrite, you know. That's what I'm thinking. Go to 1 Corinthians 5. 1 Corinthians 5, look at verse 1. So we got there an example in Romans 14 of not judging someone if it's not our, if we're not, you know, have authority over the matter. You know, don't go around correcting employees at work when you're not the manager. You understand what I'm saying? That's what we're talking about. That's going to get you in trouble. Let the manager do what he's going to do. It's his authority. It's his money being wasted. You know, you take care of the position you've been given, whether it's at work, whether it's at church, whether it's in your home. You know, focus on your kids, not other people's kids. Focus on your spouse, not other people's spouse. Focus on your family, not other families. Focus on your workers, your employees, not other people's workers, not other people's employees. Stay within the sphere of your authority and you'll live a much happier life. Not only that, don't worry about things that don't matter. If it doesn't matter, then don't worry about it. But there are times when we should judge. Outside of our sphere of authority, here's when. It affects you. You understand that? When something can potentially hurt you or hurt your children, you ought to judge. You know, there are people, as my children grow up, there will be friends who I will say, I will tell my kids who they are allowed to and who they are not allowed to be friends with. I don't like that. Well, then you lead your family however you want. But in my authority sphere, I will judge my kids. You understand that? There are times, you know, I should not go around saying, so-and-so's kids are a bunch of hellions. But I will judge when it can affect my kids. You understand that? Judge, you're there in 1 Corinthians 5, look at verse 1. 1 Corinthians 5, look at verse 1. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you. And such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. Now look, the Apostle Paul is writing the church at Corinth. And here's one of the main reasons why he's writing them. He says, I heard that in your church, there is a young man who's fornicating with his stepmother. Now that's pretty bad, right? Do you see what it says, verse 1? It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. Do you see that? Now, it wasn't his mother, it was his father's wife. So it's like his stepmother. Paul heard about this. So that's pretty bad sin in the church. Look at verse 2. And ye, now he's referring to the church, are puffed up, and have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. He says, not only did I hear that this guy is doing this horrible sin in your church, he said, I've heard that you guys are allowing it and you're puffed up. Your pride is filled in the sense that you're allowing this. These were the Christians that are saying, judge not, that ye be not judged. Come as you are. Look at verse 3. Look at what the Apostle Paul says. For I verily, as absent in the body, but present in the spirit, have judged already. Do you see that? He says, I'm not even there, and I've already judged the situation. I've already, looked at the situation. He said, I've judged already as though I were present concerning him that has done this deed. Paul, you shouldn't judge. You told Paul he shouldn't judge. The Apostle Paul is one of the greatest Christians who ever lived. And he says, I'm not even there. I've already judged the situation. Look at verse 4. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. That's a powerful verse, by the way. Do you understand what the Apostle Paul just said? He said, my prayer for this young man, he said, my prayer is this. I would deliver him to Satan, that Satan may destroy his flesh, and that maybe, just maybe, his soul may be spared. Let me tell you something. When adult children go astray and go into the world, here's the biggest mistake parents make. They try to cover them. They try to help them. And here's what you end up doing. You end up empowering them in their sin. You know what we ought to pray when people leave the church? You know, when your grown children leave and go live in the world, when you've got a prodigal son. Remember the story of the prodigal son? The father didn't go off chasing him. The father didn't go off. He said, you want to go? Go. Come back when you're what? Destroyed. That's what happened. Remember he said he came to the end of himself? And he realized, I need to go back home. You know, and you do better if you know, you've got kids, you got whoever, and they're out in sin, instead of, you know, bailing them out all the time, instead of, can you help me with rent? Why don't you have money? Because I used it all on alcohol. I'm not helping you with anything. I'm going to deliver your soul to Satan. You know, it's better that your body be destroyed and your soul be spared. And that's what he's saying. He's saying to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Look at verse 6. Your glorying is not good. Look what he says. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? He's saying, you've got to judge this problem. Here's why. Because a little leaven is going to leaven the whole lump. He said, one rotten apple, right? See, we don't judge when it doesn't affect me. I don't care if you celebrate Christmas. I don't care if you celebrate your birthday. That doesn't affect me. But when there's sin that can affect all of us, then we ought to judge. You understand that? Judge not. He's doing what he wants to do. No. Let's get back to the Bible. Look at verse 7. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are leaven. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote unto you in an epistle, look what he says, not to company with fornicators. Look at what it says. The Bible says you are not to company with fornicators. That means you are not to fellowship, you are not to be friends with, you are not to keep company with fornicators. You know, we understand what fornication is? Sexual sin. He says when people are involved in sexual sin, you should not company with that fornicator. Look at verse 10. Yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. Do you notice that he's giving them a bunch of sins? He's saying, look, if someone's a fornicator, if someone's covetous, if someone's an extortioner, if someone's an idolater, you should not accompany with them. Look at verse 11. But now I have written unto you not to keep company. If any man is called a brother, talking about a Christian, be a fornicator, or covetous, or idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such an one, know not to eat. Let me tell you something. God told us, if someone's a drunkard, be nice to them, be kind to them, but don't be their friend. Don't company with them, don't even sit down and have a meal with them. If they're a fornicator, if they are covetous, if they're an idolater, now let me ask you something. How are we supposed to do that if we're not supposed to judge? We need to judge. We need to judge. Hey, so-and-so. Now look, we ought to love that person. We ought to care for that person. And here's the thing. In 1 Corinthians Paul got set it straight. He said, hey, you guys got to take care of this. 2 Corinthians, you read the book of 2 Corinthians, that young man got right with God, and Paul was telling him, you bring him back in. You love him, and you take care of him. You bring him back into the fold, and if he wants to get right with God, then you accept him back in. He said, you know, don't company with them in their sin, but when they want to get right, bring them in. You know, we don't judge, but, you know, don't write people off.
So-and-so went into this sin,
and they can never do anything right again. No, that's not right either. If they get right with God, if they want to do right, hey, bring them in. They're a brother in Christ. But while they're in sin, don't company with a fornicator. Look at verse 12. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? Look at verse 13. But them that are without, God judges. Therefore, he says, because of everything I just told you in this chapter, therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. And I got to ask you this question. How can we do that if we're not supposed to judge? We judge not what I think is right, not what you think is right, but what the will of God is. What the Bible says. And if the Bible says something's right, something's wrong, if a preacher says something and doesn't line up the Bible, hey, mark that preacher, avoid him. If someone's living, you know, we ought to be kind. Hey, I'm not saying you see somebody that leaves our church and they're, you see them out on the street, you say hi to them, you shake their hand, you know, if you're a lady and they're a lady, or you're a man and they're a man, or whatever, you know, hug them if you want to, you know, be kind to them, be nice to them. But we are not fellowship with people that are drunkards and fornicators and living in sin. Say, why, Pastor? Because a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And a little bit of sin is going to cause us all to sin. And here's what happens. We start, you know, justifying people's sin, and then my kids start saying, oh, that must be okay then. Oh, it must be okay to be drunk and come to church. It must be okay to be in adultery. It must be okay to be a fornicator. I don't want my kids growing up like that. I want them to know right is right, wrong is wrong. The Bible tells us our job is to make very clear the holy from the unholy. Separate the light from the darkness. Let's look at one more verse. We're done. You're there in 1 Corinthians. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I told you that today people do not want you to judge because they do not want to be judged. See, here's what people want. They want to be able to live their lives however they want, be in whatever sin they want, and come to church and have someone pat them on their back and say, good job, praise the Lord, as you're on your way towards a cliff. And say, here, let me scratch your ear a little bit. You feel good? That feel nice? Positive? I'm your life coach. All right, see you next week. Check. That's what people want. They don't want somebody standing up and saying, hey, sin is sin. Right is right. Wrong is wrong. The Bible says it. Live with it. People don't want to be judged. So let me tell you this. Let me give you the secret to never being judged. The secret to never being judged. Let me give it to you right now. Look, you're there in 1 Corinthians. Look at chapter 11. Look at verse 31. 1 Corinthians 11, 31. Look what it says. For if we would judge ourselves. Look what it says. We should not be judged. You see that? Pastor, I'm tired of coming to church and I always have felt like you're beating me up. Look, if you judge yourself before you got here, if you got your life right before you got... See, here's the thing. When we're preaching against drunkenness, if you're drunk last night, you're like, but if you quit drinking and you got rid of that sin and you got victory over that, you know what you're saying? Amen, Pastor. Praise God, Pastor. Tell them, Pastor. You say, how can I live a life where I'm not being judged? Judge yourself. Get in the Bible. Get your life cleaned up. Get the sin out of your life. And then you'll say, hey, I'm not feeling judged. I actually like that. I like that preaching. Why? Because you've judged yourself.
Amen.
But you know what people don't like today? They want to live like the devil. They want to live like the world. They want to do whatever they want. And they want to come to church and have no one tell them that they're wrong. Let me tell you something. You're wrong. Judge yourself. Look what it says. I love that verse. 1 Corinthians 11, 31. We're done right here. For if we judge ourselves, we should not be judged. You say, I don't like being judged. Then judge yourself. Take care of it before it gets there. Hey, children, I don't like it that my mom keeps telling me to clean my room. Clean your room before she tells you. She'll never tell you.
Amen.
Do you understand how that works? I don't like that my boss keeps telling me not to be late to work. Get to work on time and he won't have to tell you. I don't like that they keep telling me, you know, I'm not allowed to wear this. Then don't wear it. I'm not allowed to do this. Then don't do it. Judge yourself. You'll never be judged.
Amen.
Judge yourself and no one will ever. You'll never have to say this to somebody. Judge thought that you'd be not judged. judge because you judged yourself.
Amen, Pastor.
You took care of it before I got there. Judge yourself. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you, Lord, so much. Thank you for our church. Thank you for your word, Father. I pray you'd bless the message this morning. You'd help all of us to be the mature type of Christian that would say, hey, I'm going to judge myself. I'm going to get in the Bible myself. I'm going to learn what God's will for my life is myself. We love you, Father, in your precious name I pray.